ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारे यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 7 द किलिंग ऑफ डीमन तृणावर्त टेक्स्ट 7 अधशयाना शयशिशोरनोल्पका प्रवालमृद्वङ्गृहतं व्यवर्तत विध्वस्तनानारसकुप्यभाजनम् व्यत्यस्तचकार्क्ष विभिन्नकूबरम् अधशयनास्य शिशोरनोल्पक प्रवालमृद्वङ्गृहतं व्यवर्तत विध्वस्त नाना रसकुप्य भाजनम व्यत्यस्त चक्राक्ष विभिन्न कुबरम योर टर्न टू अध शयानास्य शिशोरनोल्पका प्रवालमृद्वङ्गृहतं व्यवर्तत विध्वस्तनानारसकुप्यभाजनम् व्यत्यस्तचक्राक्षविभिन्नकूबरम् अध शयानस्य शिशोरनोल्पका प्रवालमृद्वङ्गृहतं व्यवर्तत विध्वस्तनानारसकुप्यभाजनम् व्यत्यस्तचक्राक्षविभिन्नकूबरम् अध शयनास्य हु वाज पुट अंडरनीथ द हैंड कार्ट शिशोः ऑफ द चाइल्ड अनः द कार्ट अल्पका नॉट वेरी मच ग्रोन प्रवाल जस्ट लाइक अ न्यू लीफ Mrudu Angrihatam, struck by his beautiful, delicate legs. Vyavartata, turned over and fell down. Vidhvasta, scattered. Nana Rasakupya Bhajanam, utensils made of various metals. Vyatyasta, dislocated. Chakraksha, the two wheels and the axle. Vibhinna, broken. Kubaram, the pole of the handcart. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Shri Krishna was lying down underneath the handcart in one corner of the courtyard, and although his legs were as soft as leaves, when he struck the cart with his legs, it turned over violently and collapsed. The wheels separated from the axle, the hubs and spokes fell apart, and the pole of the handcart broke. On the cart, there were many little utensils made of various metals, and all of them scattered hither and thither. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented on this verse as follows. When Lord Krishna was of a very tender age, his hands and legs resembled soft new leaves. Yet simply by touching the hand cart with his legs, he made the cart fall into pieces. It was quite possible for him to act in this way and yet not exert himself very much. The Lord in his Vamana avatara had to extend his foot to the greatest height to penetrate the covering of the universe. And when the Lord killed the gigantic demon Hiranyakashipu, he had to assume the special bodily feature of Nrsimhadeva. But in his Krishna avatar, the Lord did not need to exert such energy. Therefore, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other incarnations, the Lord had to exert some energy according to time and circumstances. But in this form, he exhibited unlimited potency. Thus the handcart collapsed, its joints broken, and all the metal pots and utensils scattered. The Vaishnava Toshani remarks that although the handcart was higher than the child could easily touch the wheel of the cart, and this was sufficient to send the demon down to the earth. The Lord simultaneously pushed the demon to the earth and superficially broke the handcart. Om Ajnana Tamirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. A few things before we discuss the pastime itself. If we notice, by the time the 10th canto starts, and we've gone through 6 chapters so far, we will notice that Shukadev Goswami doesn't spend pretty much any time discussing philosophy anymore. All of the philosophy that needed to be discussed between him and Parikshit Maharaj was done in the first 9 cantos. From here on, or from 10th canto on, the focus is on one thing, except a few chapters, chapter 87, where the Vedas personified are speaking, which most of persons avoid the chapter because it's too complicated, philosophically speaking. Except that one or two chapters, the only discussion is rasa. And rasa means Krishna's enjoyment or Krishna's interactions with his devotees. So the question of how is it possible for Krishna to do all that is not entertained? All that we are supposed to have already understood in the first 9 cantos. So there is no discussion of, what is the philosophical purport behind this? No, nobody has the time nor the interest to discuss it, specifically between Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. They are only interested in the sweetness of Krishna's interactions. So that's the premise or the basis of this whole canto. So no one says, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the philosophical nothing is described. It just says he's narrating, although very seemingly ordinary, activities of Krishna. Question is, why would even someone discuss that? This is the point where Parikshit Maharaj's death is coming very soon. He was given 7 days. We could say that 5 days are already almost over, approximately. So it's coming. And at that time, generally when a person is closer to death, they become very philosophical. about things. But at this point, they've done with philosophy. They're just discussing Krishna's activities. Like, why would a verse come in the Bhagavatam? The child was placed under the cart, he kicked the cart, the axle broke, the utensils fell apart, and there was a, you know, clatter, there was a noise, there was all these vessels that, you know, spilled all over, and they were making noise, they were all of various metals. Like, why is that verse in Bhagavatam at all? It is because whatever Krishna does is fantastic and beautiful and amazing, and even the tiniest details gives Parikshit Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami the greatest joy to discuss. So here's a worldly parallel. Okay? The worldly parallel is this. Someone who has a newborn child or a young baby or a child or a pet, dog, whatever. Even the littlest things that the child does, the parents talk about it all the time. Now for others it may not be as okay, unless there is affection for the child, right? If a set of people gather together who have a lot of affection for a, let's say, a young baby, whatever the little thing the baby does is very attracting and people want to talk about it. I'll give you a little flashback. Many years ago, when I was in college, we had a dog as a pet. And that dog became my mother's, you know, favorite being in the household. Whether we ate or not didn't matter. Whether the dog had eaten or not was the most important thing. I'll tell you the stark example. I was in my high school and my parents went to Germany. So at that time it was not so easy to call from one country to another. But my mother called from Frankfurt and I picked up the phone. I was in high school, my exams were going on. So high school exams in India are high pressure. You know, everyone, more than the students itself, the parents are totally wired up. And so my mother called. I said, "Hello, Mom," because this is the first time they had left me alone at home. And so I said, "Oh, hello, Mom." And my mother's first question was, "How's the dog? Is he eating well?" And I was shocked. I was like, "Whoa, come on. You're more interested whether the dog ate or not? You didn't care to ask me whether I ate or not?" Of course, my mother was a very affectionate lady. It's not like she neglected me or anything, but her connection with that dog was so amazing. And we were laughing for years. Of course, she came back and the dog died of, you know, a few months later, and it was very devastating for her. But if the, and so if you get the idea of the connection she had. And so if the dog would lie down like this or lie down like that, that was the only conversation my mother had with everyone else. So one of my uncles told my father later, "There's no fun coming to your house because all I get to hear about is your dog. There's no other conversation." If for those people who don't have attraction to the pet in the same way, let's say, my mother had. But if a group of us get together, and I, in my life, I have some dear friends who've had babies recently, and those babies are very, very sweet and charming, and we're happy. We can talk about those babies all day, and that's totally fine for me. But someone else may not, you know, some random person who walks into that little conversation may not relate to, "So what about it?" You know? So in this case, Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj are so attracted to Krishna that even the slightest of things, that he kicked the wheel of a cart, is a topic of discussion. It's interesting. It's very, very charming and enthralling for them. Get the point? So that's why it's there. Otherwise, what's the point? However, in the cart is a demon who has a ghostly body. And his name is Shakatasura. Shakata is also another word for cart. So Shakatasura is hiding in this cart, but he is a ghost, so no one can see him. Unlike the previous one, Putana, who disguised herself, or the next one, Trinavarta, who's also the tornado demon. But Shakatasura, because he's unseen, the chapters don't even talk about him anywhere. The title is Killing of Demon Trinavarta, but Shakatasura story is there in the first 8 or 10 verses. So Shakatasura was an associate or a follower of Kamsa and was cursed to be a ghost, so no one could see him. But he had come into Vrindavan to kill Krishna, and no one could see, so no one knew that he was hiding in the cart. Now Krishna, who is omniscient, suddenly became so heavy on Mother Yashoda's lap that she kept him aside under the cart. It's a safe place, and that's where the demon was. So Krishna, with his tender foot, kicked the wheel of the cart, and the whole cart just collapsed. Carts are usually very sturdy. You can load them up, bullocks carry them with great strength, people sit on the cart along with all their belongings, and he just completely crashed it. And Krishna's feet, here's the contrast. The cart itself is a humongous vehicle. And Krishna's feet are described as pravala. Pravala means the budding leaves, you know, fresh leaf. If you see on a tree, there are the old leaves, which are thick and strong, and the new tender leaves, the ones that are just showing up, are very delicate. So it didn't say Krishna's feet were like the strong leaves, it says like pravala, the very delicate, soft leaves that manifest on a tree. And actually, if you see, animals want to eat those leaves because they're very soft and tender. So that's the contrast. How can his feet that are so delicate and tender crash an entire cart? So pravala mridu angri. Mridu means delicate. Angri means lotus feet. Your Krishna is called Pankajangri, one who has lotus feet. So he says, Pravala Mridu Angri Hatam. Hatam means to destroy or to break. So Krishna, with this mild touch like this, destroyed the whole cart. So I thought it'd be nice to discuss a little of Krishna's glory of Krishna's feet. With these feet, Krishna manifests some really amazing pastimes. First of all, Krishna's feet are marked with some very beautiful and significant symbols or markings. And each of these markings signify a particular opulence of his. So all over the Vedic literature, Krishna's feet are glorified. In one of the Vaishnava lines, there is a particular devotee who once wrote or spoke spontaneously 100 verses glorifying the shoes of the Lord. And so he was asked, why did you speak about the shoes of the Lord? Why not the lotus feet? He said, it is to show that if the shoes are so glorious, what to speak of the lotus feet of the Lord who wears those lotus shoes. So 100 verses glorifying the shoes of the Lord. So the feet of Krishna, it is described as the repository, the place that all devotees aspire to be at. And now these feet are considered very, very tender. So you see that there is a reddish or coppery tinge. This morning, interestingly, I was reading Ramayana, and one of the ways Lord Ramachandra is described by Hanuman, there are two shlokas, but I won't tell you the whole thing, is that he says, Trim Tamrak Rupena, that there are three items on the body of the Lord that are copper colored or reddish colored. The palms of his hands, the eyes, the whites in the eyes, they have a reddish or a coppery tinge, and the soles of his feet. So if you notice in Kishore, the soles of his feet, there is a coppery or a reddish hue. It's very special. Not everyone has, some people have very pale palms, some people have very reddish palms. So that's a sign of beauty. And that is why women put mehndi or henna to make their palms reddish. So Krishna's feet, by that touch, can bring about great transformation. So a demon can be killed simply by that touch. Or Krishna dances, coming up on the hoods of Kalia, the serpent. Now here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur identifies that as Vamanadev, when he stretched his foot to pierce the coverings of the universe, there was some effort that he had to do. Or when he came as Narasimhadev, there was some effort in it to kill demon Hiranyakashipu. But in this case, as Krishna, because he is the source of all incarnations, there is no effort. He didn't have to get to the wheel of the cart and push hard. And that's how the demon died. He just touched it. So this is how the great potency of Krishna manifests. There is another pastime of Lord Balaram. You know the story. You know, Suta Goswami, who's speaking Bhagavatam, before he began the Bhagavatam, his father was sitting on the seat and speaking all the Puranas to the sages in Naimisharanya. And while he was speaking, his name was Romaharshana. So while he was speaking, Lord Balaram, who was on pilgrimage, entered Naimisharanya. Now all the sages stood up except Romaharshana, because Romaharshana was sitting on the seat of Vyasadev, and so technically a person should not get up, because they are considered like the speaker or the representative of Vyasadev. However, the etiquette is, when one's spiritual master comes, one should get up. Now Lord Balaram is the spiritual master for the entire universe. So when Romaharshana did not get up, Lord Balaram chastised him. And the way of chastising was, he plucked a blade of grass and hit him with that blade of grass. And that broke the neck of Romaharshana and he died. So in the hands of Lord Balaram, a blade of grass can become a deadly weapon. So this is the potency of the Lord. So Krishna's feet are such that they have the, although they are very delicate, they have the greatest potency. We'll switch gears and go to Ramayana, because it's fresh in my brain. I'll tell you a story from the Ramayana that shows the prowess. When we say Krishna has, one of the features of Krishna is that he has unlimited strength. So in Ramayana, when Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana They are searching for Sita Devi and they come to Kishkinda. Kishkinda is the place where Sugriva is. And because Lord Ramachandra was told, go to Kishkinda and Sugriva can help you find your wife. So they come to Kishkinda and they find, as escorted by Hanuman, that Sugriva is living on the top of Rishyamukhya mountain. And so Lord Ramachandra has such a vast kingdom. Why are you living on the top of a mountain? He said, every day I live in fear. I live in fear of my brother Vali. And my older brother has taken a vow to kill me. And this is the only mountain that he cannot come to because of a curse. And so I have taken shelter of this mountain. But I'm living in fear every day. So Lord Ramachandra says, fine, this is my problem. Someone has kidnapped my wife. And Sugriva says, my older brother also has taken away my wife and my kingdom. So both of us are banished princes. So how about this? Why don't we help each other? So Sugriva agrees. Yeah, that's a deal. You help me, I help you. So Lord Ramachandra says, I will help you first. So there are many lessons in this interaction. I'm skipping them. But if you had time for Ramayana, I would tell you a lot more depth of meanings and all of this. But anyway, so they agree. So Lord Ramachandra says, I will kill your brother Vali and give your kingdom back to you. So Sugriva, who has a little doubt, he says, when I look at you, Lord Ramachandra, I mean, you look like a strong Kshatriya, no doubt. There are markings on your shoulders and on your arms, the marks of the strings of a bow. It means you carry some strong weapons with you. But before you wage a war, it's always good to estimate the strength of the opponent. You cannot walk into a fight blindsided. So let me tell you about Vali's strength. And he narrates a story about a demon called Dundubhi. So Dundubhi was a buffalo demon. And Dundubhi was so strong, that he had no match on earth. So Dundubhi would go from one kingdom to another kingdom and challenging the kings. Fight with me, fight with me. And they would all say, sorry, we cannot fight with you. So one of the kings told Dundubhi, don't challenge me, go to the Himalaya mountain, challenge him. So no problem. So he went to the Himalaya mountain, the king, his name was Himavat, and told him, I want to challenge you because mountains are considered the strongest, right? Krishna says, Sthavaranam Himalayam Aham. Among those that are fixed, I am the Himalayas. So the king of the Himalayas said, oh Dundubhi, I am the strongest on planet Earth, but I'm no match for you. Why don't you take your appeal to the sun god? He said, no problem. Went to sun god Suryadev. Now in the universe, the sun is considered the strongest because he can heat anything up, burn anything, it doesn't matter. So he went to sun god and the sun god said, sorry Dundubhi, I cannot fight with you. I'm no match for you. But if you want to fight with someone, go to Vali. He is in Kishkinda kingdom. He will be a good match for you. So all right. So came back to Kishkinda and in the middle of the night went and loudly shouted, Vali! I challenge you for a fight. Vali was sleeping. You know, when a person is sleeping and you wake them up and you challenge them for a fight, it's not like they're fully alert yet, right? It takes a few moments to, where am I? So Vali in his sleep got up and said, who's this rascal who's challenging me? And walked out and saw Dundubi, this big, massive buffalo. And he said, you rascal, you disturbed my sleep. You want to fight? I will smash you to death. And so both of them started fighting. And the fight is described in, you know, it was very beautifully. He was pushing him, shoving him with his horns, and he was so strong that he would take a very strong stride towards Vali. But Vali held the horns of Dundubi, picked him up, and smashed him to the ground and killed him. And so this is the prowess of Vali. So when Sugriva describes to Lord Ramachandra that skeleton of the Dundubi demon is still there, and it's the size of a mountain. So Lord Ramachandra, this is the point of Pravala Mridu Angri Hatam, right? That's the key word, that Krishna's feet are tender like a newly budding leaf. Lord Ramachandra's feet are also like that. So Lord Ramachandra walks up to that skeleton that is as big as a mountain, and by digging his heel, he flips it with his foot, this big skeleton, and that the skeleton flies and drops about 10 miles away. So everyone's like, wow. So Lord Ramachandra is showing, Sugriva, don't underestimate my strength. But Sugriva is one of those doubting guys. He says, Lord Ramachandra, I understand your strength, no doubt. But come on, this is only a skeleton. The skeleton is much lighter than when the buffalo demon was alive. He had all his flesh, you know, he had his muscle, and he was a lot stronger and heavier. I see you can flip just with your foot the skeleton miles away, but it's not the same. So Lord Ramachandra asks Sugriva, how else can I demonstrate to you my strength to convince you that I can kill Vali? He said, you see these trees here? There's a particular tree by the name, I forget. They're very, very strong trees. They have large trunks, not the sequoias, but large trunks and sturdy branches. And Sugriva said, my brother Vali could hold the trunk of a tree and shake a tree with such vigor that all the leaves of the tree would fall. Now, this is the time for fall, and you'll notice leaves are falling. That's because the leaves are becoming dry and they're not holding on to their twigs and branches strongly. So some wind and rain will drop the leaf. But a fresh green or a green leaf doesn't fall so easily because it's holding on to the branch very tightly. So Vali's strength was such that he could shake that tree and all the leaves would fall. So he said to Lord Ramachandra, if you can pierce an arrow through this one tree, I would be convinced. Lord Ramachandra smiled, took his arrow from his quiver, set it on his bow, and shot an arrow. That arrow pierced not one tree, but seven such trees simultaneously, one after the other. Cut through the seven trees, went down to Patala, the lowest level of the universe, turned around, came back right into his quiver. And Sugriva said, okay, I agree, you can fight with Vali. This is Krishna's or Lord Ramachandra's strength. Now, Lord Ramachandra, of course, was a grown-up as an adult. Here, Krishna is a baby. So many of the demons, because their brain works according to what we call pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means visible, direct perception. These demons saw a baby and thought, how much time does it take to kill a baby? And they were meeting a formidable match in Krishna, who was a tiny, tiny baby, 3 months old, barely rolling over. There's a significance why Krishna's killing of Putana and Shakatasura and Trinavarta are significant. Oh, by the time Trinavarta came, he was almost 6 months old. But within 3 months, a baby does not have enough strength in the spine and neck. And that's why they're always on their back. Once the neck and spine become stronger, you'll see a baby can hold its own neck on its own. Otherwise, until then, you have to have a hand or some support under the neck. So the 3 months is a significant period, and that's the time by 3 or 6 months the child rolls over. That means there is enough strength in the neck and spine to move, and unless they roll over, then is when it begins, as they're crawling and sitting and standing and all the other movements. This is the strengthening of the spine. So as a baby, when Putana came and Shakatasura were there, Krishna was still a baby lying on his back. So one might say, oh, poor baby has no strength. But he's demonstrating that even if he is a baby, he is still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One shouldn't consider him as to be a baby. That's the beauty of this verse and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's explanation. So, any comments, questions, thoughts? I'll tell you a story of Prabhupada before we end. Sometimes people think of Krishna and see him in a very materialistic sort of way. So one of them is to see him as a baby or to see him as a young child, and it is very oh, it's only a baby. So one day somebody challenged Prabhupada that Lord Vamana, the avatar of Vishnu, who went as a beggar to Bali Maharaj. That's in Canto 8. So they said, what kind of a god is he? He went for begging. God doesn't beg. So Prabhupada said, even if he's a beggar, he's the best of beggars. Because is there any beggar that you know who can beg all the three worlds at the same time? Vamana did. So he's still showing he may be a beggar, but he's still God. That he can take the entire three worlds from you. If a beggar comes, you may give $1, $10 maximum. The beggar cannot take away the three worlds. But Vamana did. So he's always God. Regardless of how he looks, he may be a small baby, he may be looking like a human being, he may look like a dwarf, he may look like a fish, a tortoise, half man, half lion, it doesn't matter. He's always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any thoughts, comments? Ruchi, Mathi?
Thank you for the class. So one question that my brother always asks me is like that Ram was basically he came to show that after Parshuram killed all the Kshatriyas and there was a decline in belief of the Kshatriyas, then Ram, King Ram came to, Lord Ram came basically to show that how a human being should live their lives as Maryada Purushottam. So then he said that if he wanted to show us that we should fight our battles in life by praying to God, then he would have not gone and taken Sita back, but just taken a bead bag and prayed to God, and then he would have gotten Mother Sita back just by praying and not by fighting Ravan back. So he was trying to show us that we have to fight for on our own. And prayer is not an option when it comes to like fighting one's battles in life. So I was a little confused about, and the same thing that he told Arjuna is to fight, and otherwise he could have just said, okay, I will just sit and pray here, and I will kill them because they are already killed by me, and so I will deliver your enemies on your feet.
So what is the question, Ruchi?
Is like whether one should fight one's own battles in life, or should one take to prayer? Because if he wanted to show us, Lord Ram wanted to show us that we should pray to God instead of fighting our battles in life, then he should have just taken a bead bag and sat at the ocean and prayed for Sita Devi to come back. But he wanted to show us that we should fight for our own battles in life.
Lord Ramachandra was fighting for his wife. Most people fight for someone else's wife. That's the first one. Second, one should act according to one's nature. So Arjuna was asked to fight. Draupadi did not fight. Prahlad Maharaj never fought. Although Hiranyakashipu was plumbing him with, atrocity after atrocity, Prahlad Maharaj, because he was a young boy, he took his bead bag and just sat quietly and prayed. Draupadi did not fight back. In fact, as long as Draupadi was fighting, as Maharaj was explaining Sunday night, Draupadi called, "Oh, Pandavas, oh, Dronacharya, oh, Bhishma Dev." And Krishna said, "Looks like you want someone else, so not me." So Draupadi did not fight. However, when Arjun said, "I don't want to fight," Krishna said, "You're a fool." So one should know one's nature and one's purpose on this planet. Okay. However, spiritual life generally is mistaken as passivity. Passivity means I don't do anything. Everything he has to do. It's not passive. It's absolutely not passive. What it calls us to do is to find out our relationship with Krishna and act in that relationship and let Krishna do what he needs to do. And a third, Lord Ramachandra didn't have to take a bead bag and pray for Sita Devi. He would have prayed to who? To himself? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if you turn the view a little bit and say that Sita, for a moment, if you consider Sita as like one of us who's separated from Krishna, and she's the one who's praying for Lord Ramachandra to come, that means that when we pray, Lord Ramachandra will fight the greatest of demons to help us. So whoever is speaking this to you is taking the side of Lord Ram as if we are Lord Ramachandra. But we should consider ourselves like Sita, who's been abducted. And one who's abducted by Maya has no other choice but to pray. Okay? Okay, anyone else? Jai Baldev Prabhu. You have something, Jitendra Prabhu? Can you make it in four?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. You were mentioned, your last comment was that sometimes people are bewildered that Krishna is a baby, and they can't, they're like, "Oh, this is a piece of cake." So I remember in one of your last classes a while ago, you mentioned that Krishna name is Smita Krishna. That's where I first heard the term, smiling Krishna. And I appreciated that term because the reason we see in the past times that Krishna is always smiling, it's because
Smita is not a big smile from ear to ear. Mm-hmm. Smita means very gently smiling.
Mm. Yeah. So we see that Krishna is always smiling, whether gently or a little bit or internally. Is that because everything is going to go his way? There's no doubt about it, like you were mentioning, Lord Ramachandra pastime. And So Krishna's happiness comes from being a supreme controller. And the reason we're not smiling is because we're not the supreme controller. So my question is,
we are the supreme controlled.
Exactly.
Supreme controlled.
Controlled by the moles, so many things. So basically, my question is related to two pastimes related to the same personality, Indra. Indra, when he tried to kill the Vrajabasis, he was unsuccessful and he realized, I'm not the supreme controller. On the other hand, in another pastime, when Indra attempted to kill Visharupa, Visharupa was, of course, the priest of the demigods and the demons. He was related to both of them. And Indra didn't want Visharupa to give benedictions to the demons because, you know, why are you giving benedictions to the demons? You know, you should only give us benedictions because we're demigods. So Indra was successful at killing Visharupa. So in our life, sometimes, you know, we see in so many pastimes that we may not try to kill others, but we try to kill others' reputations. We file a complaint. We like, where's your manager? Where's this? It may or may not get done. But when it does get done, like when Indra killed Visharupa, then we begin to think, I'm the supreme controller. I'm successful. So at what point should one, how much should one pray to Krishna that everything goes my way? Like Hiranyakashipu pray, I wish everything go my way. And Queen Kunti pray, I wish that nothing would go my way, because if nothing goes my way, I won't be, you know, thinking I'm the supreme controller. So where's the demarcated distinction of getting justice and just letting things go? Maybe you could elaborate on that.
It's a very big topic. Actually, here in the Chicago Temple, I think about 6 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, there was a panel of people, devotees, and the topic was justice versus punishment. And different devotees took different perspectives. And the idea was justice and punishment cannot be black or white, although we would like it to be. There are many, many, many factors that need to be considered, right? And that was the classic situation of Arjuna was about to kill Ashwatthama, and in his doing so would not have been wrong, correct? But had to consider many, many, many things as to how to mete out the perfect justice and satisfy everyone. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. So I cannot give you a 30-second answer. However, back to the prayer of Hiranyakashipu, let everything go my way. It takes a lot of internal strength to pray to Krishna, let everything go your way. So our transformation in life, by, as Indraduna Maharaj said, that Prabhupada was quoting Prabhupada, that bhakti is an incremental process. Incremental means small changes. And we've heard Bhakti Vinod Thakur being quoted that success is a long journey taken in series of small steps. Progress is a long journey taken in a series of small steps in the right direction. So our prayers from the beginning are, let Krishna, let things go my way. And hopefully, that part of the transformation is, my dear Krishna, let things go your way. So somewhere in between is, let things go your way and my way. Let's both be happy. That's somewhere in the midway, you know, like in the middle of things. I want this, you want this. Let's find how both of us can get what we need. Until we come to only what you need, Krishna, you know, that's what you need is what I need. Until then, Krishna is making adjustments. Okay, you want this, let me give you this, or let me work with you such that you will see that, you know, you want ultimately Krishna's desire. That's the difference. Hiranyakashipu this side, Kunti on that side. Let me have my way, let me have it your way. So in some cases, we want advance notice from Krishna. Oh, by the way, in 10 years' time, I want it this way. Okay, Krishna, I need some time to prepare myself. But in the case of these great personalities like Kunti Devi and all that, they were given no notice. It was on the whim of things. One moment king, next moment out in the forest. And they were fine with that. So it takes internal strength. Or as in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, overcome the weakness of your heart. The heart needs to be strong to accept, strong with the love for Krishna, that we can accept Krishna's demand from this extreme to that extreme and anything in between. That is a strong heart. A faint-hearted or a weak-hearted cannot. Jitendra Prabhu.
Yes, in reverse, in reference to strong heart and weak heart, I kind of remember when devotees first came to Srila Prabhupada, he would ask them, what would you like to do for Krishna? And devotees kind of, I think, equated that with karma yoga. But bhakti yoga was, what do you want me to do for Krishna? So it's a higher level. Yeah. In regards to your dog, similar situation about seemingly your mother caring less about you and more about the dog. We were in Canada and I was with a devotee and we got in a car accident and we called the temple president and the devotee was in the hospital. And
how's the car?
The temple president asked, what about the car? And the devotees said, aren't you concerned about me? I'm in the hospital. And he paused for a minute, and the devotee expressed himself, and he says, yeah, but what about the car? Another thing about people caring less, there's a little paragraph story. I care about Krishna's feet as I would about watching my next door neighbor's barbecue that happened 20 years ago. I don't know if you ever heard that. It was kind of funny.
No.
I mean, you know, how can you relate to your next door neighbor's barbecue 20 years ago, you know? And it was just, you know, unrelated.
I must say, though, the story was just to narrate how someone like my mother can get attached to a dog or, you know, have that sense of expression, but by no means do I mean to convey in front of Kishore that she was a less affectionate woman. She was the most affectionate woman that, you know, in my life. And basically, I guess whatever sense of affection or thing that I can exhibit is because of her. She was amazing, amazing woman. But it's only an illustrative story, not a characterization of her. I just want you to know. I have a lot of love for my mother.
I was also thinking in 1966 when Prabhupada first came, there was an article on the front of Time magazine, Is God Dead? And Prabhupada said, no, your intelligence is dead. So I don't know, that's just kind of came up. But anyways, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mataji?
I was just curious because when Krishna's lotus feet and his tender leaf-like legs kicked upwards, it caused that ghostly demon not only his death but that he was pushed into the earth. So it's sort of interesting because the motion's upwards and then the demons going downwards.
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur narrates that the cart is very high and the child's, baby Krishna's feet cannot reach the cart. So it hit the wheel of the cart that's to the side. And when the wheel broke, the whole cart came down. And that's how the demon was pushed into the ground. Okay, Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
And babies are worried.